Welcome to the Wasatch Hills Church Podcast, a ministry of the Wasatch Hills Seventh-day Adventist Church with Pastor Bernie Anderson. Our prayer is that what you hear will inspire, equip, and perhaps introduce you to a new walk with Jesus Christ.
Gotta share some pictures with you. We took family pictures recently, and I want to show you some pictures real quick here. This first one, can you see that? Can you see that? The two lighter-skinned children are not mine, by the way, just so we make that clear. They're family. I love them, but they're not mine. So, but this one in the, I wish I had a pointer. Does this point, Ken? Bottom button. Okay, good. That's Madison. That's Brooklyn. And look at Liberty. This is 2006, okay? And this is like a year after we got here. This is 2006, dear. It is 2006. Well, there's a little discrepancy on the year. But nevertheless, you can see that these are our children, all right? And then I want you to see this next picture. Now, that's Madison. That's Brooklyn. That's Liberty. What happened? Did they grow a little bit? They grew a little bit on us, and they have grown up into fine young ladies, and they continue to grow. And I thoroughly embarrass them now, of course. And they always get on to me after church. And say, "Daddy, you always use this in your sermons." But it was just amazing because we just recently took this photo just this a couple of weeks ago, and I was sitting in my office after we had taken those pictures and we had gotten them back and we were looking at them. In this little picture, I have one of those little digital frames on my desk in the office, and that other picture popped up on there. I was like, "Wow, look at my kids! They've grown. It's pretty amazing how quickly they grow, and they walk out of their rooms one day and you're just kind of going, what on earth? Who's the adult living in my house? You know, it's just amazing. And they eat constantly. Those of you who have children, no wonder they grow. What you can't see there in those pictures, though, is how they've matured, right? In a spiritual sense. You can't see that. You can't tell whether or not they have matured spiritually. You can see that they've certainly grown and matured physically, if you will. But you can't see whether or not they've grown spiritually. We just can't tell that from the pictures. The Bible is very explicit and very forward with regard to spiritual growth and spiritual development. The Bible uses the word mature. We'll talk about that in a second. But What I also noticed, if you go to the Gospel Commission, there's an implication of growth. It's implied in there. What's very clear, let's just read it. It's always good to review the Gospel Commission, the Great Commission. It says this. You can read it with me if you'd like. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples," go, remember that word, "and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So this is the Gospel Commission, and at the very top it clearly says to go. But I want to suggest to you that there's something also in the Gospel Commission that says to grow. Grow. It says go, but it also says grow. Notice the underlying part there. It says teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So not only does the Bible admonish us as believers and as God's followers to go, but it also admonishes us to grow. Because these people are going to learn. They're going to be taught. God's followers are going to be learners or disciples, and they're going to grow. Anytime you learn something new, you have submitted that you want to grow, essentially. So that's what the Gospel Commission says. It says to go and to grow. Now, a little bit later on in the book of Colossians, this is what Paul has to say about the imperative to grow. that it's important for us to grow. Not just physically. We're all going to grow physically. Sometimes we grow too much physically. It's the beginning of a year, so we all go join health clubs, right? So that we don't grow too much physically, so we can lose some weight. Christina and I joined a club this week. Yeah. And we never joined one before. It's the first time. And so we kind of work out together now. It's a lot of fun. But I asked the guy when we were signing up, I said, so when do you see the most sign-ups for club memberships, for gym memberships at 24-Hour Fitness is where we're members now? He said, January. Because people just came through the holidays and they ate a lot of food they shouldn't eat, and now they're thinking, man, I got to get back in the gym. So the Bible talks to us about growing, but it's more imperative that we grow spiritually rather than just physically. Okay, so read this. This is from Colossians. It says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim. This is Paul talking here. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching. There's that word teaching again. Remember the gospel commission, go forward and teach. Teach everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, Paul says, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Paul was kind of like that coach that comes alongside of you and says, I want you to grow. And I'm going to put everything I can into making sure that you grow and you develop spiritually. That God's fullness, the fullness of God's power is working within you and transforming your life and transforming you into the person that God wants you to be. Now, here's the thing. that word mature, the Bible refers to it as mature. It's interesting how the Bible teaches us this word and pictures this word. The word mature comes from the word telos. The word telos is a Greek word that we derive the word telescope from. Telescope. So if you think about a telescope, it extends. It comes out in these little sections. And when it's fully extended, we say that it is telos, that it is mature, that it is complete. But the Bible pictures it as, it pictures our spiritual journey, our journey of faith, if you will, as this journey, sort of like the unfolding of a telescope, where each little, you know, section of the telescope unfolds until completeness, perfection, maturity. That's how the Bible pictures maturity. So all of us are sort of maturing, growing, becoming, and ultimately we become like Christ. Christ-likeness is very apparent in our lives and in the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we do life. So I love the way Scripture just sort of paints that picture for telos, telescope, for mature. Now here's the great challenge, is because the reason why there's so much emphasis placed on growth, the reason why Hebrews talks about getting off of milk and getting on to meat, and the reason why even Jesus mentioned it in one of his parables, the parable of the sower, the seed that fell where the thorns were got choked out and it couldn't grow and it couldn't mature because of the cares and the worries of this life. And the reason why Scripture is so big on that is because I believe that God realizes that it's possible to grow, but not to mature. Stay with me. Follow that? It's possible to grow, but it's also possible not to mature. You saw pictures of my kids. They're clearly growing. That's a reality of life. They're going to grow. But you have no clue about where they are spiritually. Same is true for you and me. You and I will grow. We will grow in our experiences. We will grow. Here's how we will grow. We will grow informationally. Christians will grow informationally. In fact, it's the easiest way to grow. A lot of you read lots of spiritual books. A lot of you read lots of great stuff. A lot of you read your Bibles in depth. You read them. In fact, I would say to some extent, we're bloated with spiritual information. We're growing with information. But it doesn't necessarily mean that we are maturing spiritually. What's the difference? What's the difference? The big difference between growing and between maturing is application. Application. Remember the parable that Jesus told about the storm and the houses, the wise man and the foolish man. The wise man built this house on what? The foolish man built his house on the sand. The wise man was foolish. Jesus told us at the end of the parable, the wise man was foolish. Why? The wise man was foolish. Why? No, that doesn't make sense. The wise man was wise. Why? Huh? He heard the word and he put it into practice. The difference between the maturing Christian and the growing Christian is that the maturing Christian is going to hear, but also do and apply to his life what God is teaching him. It's the big difference. In other words, you can have all the information, you can listen to all the greatest spiritual sermons, but if all you do is listen to it, if all you do is read it, you can even memorize it, but if it never comes into contact with your life, you're just a bloated Christian. You're growing this way, but you're not growing this way. Go back to the Gospel Commission. Maybe I should take you back there. Go back to the Gospel Commission. Oops. Let me go back to the Gospel Commission. Teaching them to obey. Teaching them to obey. Not just teaching them, not just giving them information, but helping them to understand how to apply it to their lives. I would contend with you this morning that we as believers, maybe more specifically as Seventh-day Adventist believers, have a ton of information, but that doesn't necessarily translate into practice and application in the life of you and me. Right? Information is wonderful. It makes us feel good. It makes us feel knowledgeable. And I'm not dogging it because there's a certain information that we have to put with life. But sometimes it ends at information. Sometimes it ends with just knowing this stuff. If it never bleeds over into the practical experience of your life, then you won't mature. And God ultimately is after mature believers. He's after, he wants to see us grow into the people that not only hear the word, but apply the word, do the word, obey the word. And then Paul, again, comes along. He said, this is the end, strenuously continue with the energy Christ powerfully works in within me. Let me back up. So that we may present everyone fully mature, not fully informed. Did y'all get enough sleep? Bless. So let me keep going because I think that's critical. It's possible to grow and not mature. And that's the challenge that we face. And that's the difference in people who... Let me take you here. I sort of came up with this acrostic, GROW, right? And I want to take you here. This first one, the G, for... I think God wants to take you from good to great spiritually, all right? Now, the big business book out there is by Jim Collins. It's called Good to Great. I haven't read it totally. I have it sitting on my desk. It's in my list of books. I got to read it. I'm going to get to it. But I stole the title because it fits. The difference between good Christianity, good faith, and the difference between great is application. If you do it. You see, you can have a good Christianity. You can have a good faith. You can have a decent relationship, if you will, with God, but it'll never be great. It'll never get you to maturity where God wants you to ultimately be. And the problem is we'll settle for good. We'll settle for, well, I know some stuff. I got some stuff down. It's okay. It's all good. But we'll never get to great because we never, ever put into practice what God has given us, what God has inspired us with, what God has revealed to us. Yeah, God still reveals himself to us all the time. And he's saying, hey, hey, take this journey with me here. Go with me here. It's going to grow you. It's going to mature you. It may be painful. It may be a struggle. It may be a struggle, but go with me here. Don't settle for good. If you want to settle for good, then just feed off of the information. Feed off of the information. You can be like, people who just, you go to great conventions every year. You take lots of great notes. You get home, and you still have that pile of notes that you took from that same convention. You go every year, you get more and more and more information. It's when we have, in our churches, we have, big evangelistic series, and the only people who show up are us. Why? So we can rehear the same old information that we've always heard. Because we like it. Rather, perhaps this should be our suggestion. Perhaps we need to reduce the amount of information coming in and concentrate more on application. Concentrate more on application. Concentrate on implementing things within my life. Putting it to practice in my life. God gives us a couple of specifics on how we do that, or a couple of specific areas on where we should focus our attention. I believe that God wants us to go from good to great spiritually. That means that we begin to apply it, because it's possible to grow informationally and not mature spiritually. God says, you want to go from growing to maturity, apply my word to your life. One of the most significant areas God says to do that, to begin to use your spiritual revelations and information, is in the area of relationships. So I'm convinced that God says relationship growth is a necessity. How do you grow in relationships? What's happening in the context of your relationship? The two greatest commands are the two areas where we need to grow the most. Love the Lord your God. I need to grow in deeper love and worship and service to the God of the universe. But I also need to grow in how I love my neighbor. And before Jesus left the earth, John 17, he said, I pray that they would come to love each other. Why? Because when you learn to love others, man, it's a huge sign of maturity. Isn't it? All right, because when we were growing up, just take an example from our own adolescence. When I grew up, we loved ourselves. And we loved everything that had to do with us. All right? Unless you were an abnormal teenager, it was all about you. The problem is we never grow out of that. Spiritually, we're sort of bent towards only loving ourselves and liking us and be very self-centered and self-focused. So Jesus comes along, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. He doesn't say anything about you. Right? He says as yourself, exactly. So one of the areas where we have to really mature, if you will, it's in this area of loving one another. Churches in particular, because we're a community, we're called to be a community, we're called to sort of live with each other and grow with each other and go through stuff together, are particularly challenged to mature and to grow in this area of loving one another. And here's the thing. I don't believe that mature believers, I don't believe that just growing believers or believers that aren't maturing can really learn to love. And that's our biggest challenge, right? Because I know a lot of people with deep experiences in the church, a lot of people have been in church for years and years and years, doesn't mean that they're maturing. Doesn't mean that. And the clear indicator of that is how they love. How they love the people around them. How they react, the interpersonal relationships are a clear indicator of whether or not we're maturing as believers, maturing in our love for those around us. And Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. There's a speaker that I heard use this line, and I've stolen it from him many, many times. And he says, talking about loving your neighbor and loving your brother, particularly in the context of church. He says, you do not get to choose your brother. You don't get to choose your brother. And I think that's true, because I think so often it is, particularly in a church setting, sometimes we're really picky about who we choose to be our brother, when in reality, we don't really get to choose. God calls us to love our neighbors, to love the people sitting in the pew right next to us. And a clear sign of whether or not we are indeed maturing is how we love. You may be challenged this year in your relationships because God wants you to grow there. I'm constantly challenged in mine. If you're married, you're constantly challenged. How do you love? How do I react, and how do I relate to my spouse as a maturing believer, as a Christian? Tough, man. How do I relate to people that I disagree with, that I don't really, personality conflicts, you know, clashes and stuff like that. That really happens in churches, by the way. Here's the thing. Usually in this context, we tend to back off and we don't engage. We just sort of stay on the periphery. And the maturing believer, not just the growing believer, but the maturing believer, will engage. The maturing believer will work towards reconciliation with a relationship that has been harmed for whatever reasons, whether they were harmed and offended by the person or whether they were the offender. They will pursue reconciliation. Why? Not because of themselves, but because God calls them to, as a maturing believer, to do that. Are you with me? See, I think this is so critical. And I don't know if I'm doing a good enough job, so God help me. Because I want us to not just be a church full of people who get information every week, and they walk out and it's forgotten by after lunch, right? But rather we're people who come and we begin to apply God to our lives. We begin to say, God, how do you become the one who directs and controls and transforms me into something different? How do I grow, God? How do I mature and become the believer that you want me to be? And I don't think it's just a matter of hearing nice stuff. I think it's applying and putting stuff into practice. Reading scripture, not just to say that I read it, but to say that this is now going to impact the way I live. You follow what I'm saying? And it's most critical in the context of a local church, how we love the people around us, how we relate to, how we connect with, what do we do? Because, see, here's my sort of idea about how it should look. You know, this place shouldn't clear out till about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you know? Why? Because people are just sort of, we're there, we're connecting, we're with each other. And you know what's cool? When you're with somebody that you love, you don't have to be entertained. Right? When you're with somebody you love, it's just enough to be with them. You don't have to have any extracurricular activities going on. We're just here. It's just us. Relationships. I believe that God wants us to go from good to great spiritually. That involves not just consuming information about God and about spirituality, about life. It means that we begin to apply God's word, God's truth to our lives and begin to live differently. The most critical area of that for any local church is how we relate to one another. How we love. How we connect. It helps us to grow. It helps us to mature. Jesus, I just finished studying the book of Matthew. For my own personal study time, I did the book of Matthew. And it's really powerful the way Jesus did this, too. In other words, Jesus wasn't Jesus wasn't just interested in transferring information. He was really more interested in transforming lives. So the pattern that you see in the book of Matthew, and I'm reading through the book of John now, we'll see if it's true in the book of John. We'll see if it's true throughout all the Gospels. But the pattern that Jesus followed was to do this. He would preach and he would teach. Did a lot of preaching, a lot of teaching. I know a lot of people like to emphasize, well, Jesus did more miracles than he did preaching and teaching. That's not exactly accurate. Jesus did a ton of preaching and a ton of teaching. He stood up in front of people and he gave them the truth of his word. The next thing that you see Jesus doing, though, is really powerful. This is the difference between a growing Christian and a maturing Christian. Jesus then went out and did ministry. This is where the miracles came into practice. This is where Jesus went out and where he would talk about how you should be kind to the poor, how you should be kind to those who are hurting, kind the good Samaritan. He would then go and be the good Samaritan. So it wasn't enough just for Jesus to talk the talk. He would walk the walk. The sign, in fact, of a believer who is growing. So Jesus would go, he would preach and teach about all these beautiful principles of the kingdom, and then he would go out and do them. He'd perform miracles. He would hang out with sinners. He would help the poor. He would heal the blind. He would do ministry. Then the third thing is this, that you see Jesus doing in the book of Matthew, is that he would send others out. He would commission others. So now you go and do the same thing that I just did. And I love the beauty of that. I love seeing the fact that Jesus wasn't content just to talk about it. But Jesus did it. The same is true for the maturing believer. The believer who's on track to have the fullness of Christ in their life, the telescope that's being unfolded, is that you not only hear, you must hear the preaching, the teaching, the truth of God's word. You have to hear it, no question about it. But it's more important that you put it into practice, that it becomes a reality in your life. I want to take you to one more text, and I'm not going to get to the rest of Grow. Maybe I'll come back and do those later. James 1:4. Check this out. We'll kind of finish with this, and I'm going to tell you a little parable to finish it. It says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. The imperative in Scripture is that we persevere to finish. We persevere to finish. And here's the difference again between a growing Christian and a maturing Christian. The maturing Christian is persevering. Why? Because they're putting into practice what God has taught them, what God has revealed to them. The truths of Scripture are becoming a reality in their lives. Information only isn't persevering. Practice is persevering. Doing the Christian life is persevering. So let me end with this parable. It's called the parable of the jump roper. Have you heard that one before? It's the parable of the jump roper. So, there was a person. That's how most parables start, isn't it? There was a man, but I'm being inclusive. There was a person who read everything there was to read about jump roping. Read everything. Consumed volumes and volumes and volumes of information about jump roping. They just read everything, was really, really excited about jump roping too, just poured over information about jump roping. Then the person decided that they wanted to jump rope. They wanted to jump rope. So they invited their friends to come and jump rope, to help them jump rope, because the person learned that in order to jump rope, you need three people and a rope. He read good books, or she read good books. So, also learned that you had to tell the people to twirl the rope. Twirl the rope. Wow. And the man was just totally amazed at jump roping. Here it is, an opportunity to jump rope. And everything that he read about jump roping was true, that it could be a very exciting thing. And the rope twirls and your friends can be involved and it's so cool. And all the man did was, he really wanted to, He even stood next to the rope like you saw in the pictures so that he could get the rhythm down so he could jump in. But he never did. In fact, he just wanted to go back and read a little bit more about jump rope. And then he'd get excited again and he'd say, okay, I'm gonna do it now. But never jump in. After a while, the man was just satisfied with reading about jump roping. After a while, you know, he just sort of left it at that. Jump roping was just this thing that, thank you. Jump roping was just this thing that he knew about and this thing that he was once interested in. It was just this thing. So what's the lesson of the parable? What's the lesson of the parable? If we don't apply God's word, if we don't apply what we've learned, if we don't apply the information, if we don't experience the information that we've consumed, ultimately, we lose interest in it altogether. If we don't apply, if we don't put into practice what God has taught us, what God has revealed to us, if we don't somehow begin to implement it into the natural flow and the rhythm of my life, to where it brings about real maturation, where it brings about real authentic spiritual growth, eventually I lose interest. The reason why people lose interest in spiritual things, the reason why people stop coming to church is because what they learn and the truths that are revealed to them are never applied to their lives. The truths that are revealed to them and the talk that comes forth and the teaching from Scripture that they are exposed to is never a reality within the community that they are experiencing, so they walk away. Ultimately, we're just like the dude who read everything there was to know about jump roping, but he never jumped in to do the dance of jump roping. He never did it. Just stood by and said, wow, that would be really cool. And never did it. Eventually, you walk away. Because until we begin to apply it to our lives, until we begin to say, mature me, God, don't just inform me, we won't grow. And in fact, we'll stay kids. We'll stay infants. We'll stay babies. Babies have short attention spans. Eventually, we'll lose interest in God and the things of God because I'm not putting them into practice in my life. I want you to grow, but I want you to mature. I want to grow. I want to mature. It will challenge all of us. But remember the lesson of the parable of the jump roper. You got to get in. You got to get in. Father God, I pray that it would be the desire of this congregation to get in wholeheartedly. To not just read a whole lot about you and learn valuable information about you, God, but to actually put it to work in our lives. May the Bible and may the Spirit of God be so real to us that we can't help but live it. Not just talk about it, not just read about it, but to live it. And may it transform this community into a community of not just growing Christians, but maturing believers, looking for, awaiting that day when indeed you will return, when you will return and complete the work that you've begun within each and every one of us. Thank you, God, for your love for us. Thank you for the gift of growing and maturing in you. May your Spirit be at work within each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Wasatch Hills Church Podcast. For information about the Wasatch Hills Church, please visit us on the internet at www.wasatchhills.org. Or you may email Pastor Bernie Anderson at pastor@wasatchhills.org.